Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Well, the Attorney General's office has been battling a crisis that threatens the very integrity of the office. Tonight, we're hearing from the office, which is also the Ministry for Justice, as they issue a passionate appeal for public support in the face of the scandal. The AG, Godfred Yabo Adame, is facing accusations of witness tampering following a leaked audio that was published by the main opposition NDC, in which he is heard on a call asking a defendant in a case he's prosecuting to do his bidding and falsely secure documentation to have the case adjourned and testify in manner that will secure the conviction of the minority leader. His deputy, Alfred Tuayeboah, has been speaking on the sidelines of the launch of Amnesty International's Human Rights and Death Penalty Report 2023. We'll hear from him shortly, but first, here is what the NDC put out as a recording of an alleged conversation between the AG and a third accused in the ongoing trial of Dr. KCL Atuforce, businessman Richard Jakpa.
The reason why I said me, that's my timetable for the rest of the
That means that you are not going to be around.
So, yeah. And then even next week, all of next week, I'll not be around. There's a way of even not even finishing next week. I would appreciate it.
Oh, no, okay, no, I'll not finish next week. I don't think I'll be able to finish because the documents are many. So you surely go and come and meet me.
Oh,
but that will also depend upon the judge's behavior.
You can bring one medical excuse next week.
Okay.
Do as a high.
Okay, fine. If you bring a medical excuse next week.
I said you. How can I bring a medical excuse?
No, you are saying that I should bring a medical excuse next week.
You can if you want.
But brother, you want this man to issue bench warrant for me again.
Well, following this revelation, the NDC is calling for the sack of the Attorney General.
It is clear from the tape recording that Godfred Dame was communicating with the third accused, Richard Jakpa, on the blind side of his lawyer as well as the court. And he was attempting to compromise Jakpa in order to wrongfully convict Dr. Atuforce. This is a cardinal sin against the legal profession. Considering the scandalous nature of this recording and other forms of evidence we have shown you, we wish to make the following pressing demands as part of efforts to restore credibility to the Attorney General's office and Ghana's judicial system as a whole. One, the immediate and unconditional resignation or dismissal of Godfred Dame for bringing the high office of the Attorney General and Minister of Justice into disrepute and public opprobrium. Clearly, Mr. Dame is not fit to hold himself out as Attorney General and Minister of Justice. He is unfit to be the leader of the Ghana Bar. Two, the immediate prosecution of Godfred Dame for multiple violations of the laws of Ghana. We wish to make it clear that should President Akufo-Addo refuse or fail to prosecute him, a future NDC government will prosecute Godfred Dame for this heinous crime of fabrication of evidence. Three, commencement of disciplinary proceedings by the General Legal Counsel against Godfred Dame and his disbarment for conduct unbecoming of a lawyer, and more importantly, the leader of the Ghana Bar. Four, a publicly televised parliamentary inquiry into this and other reports of judicial manipulations by Godfred Dame with a view to censor Godfred Dame to prevent the recurrence of such judicial manipulations.
But the Deputy Attorney General, Godfred Tia Yeboah, is rebuffing NDC's claims and demands. Now, he spoke to journalists at the launch of Amnesty International's Human Rights and Death Penalty Report 2023.
It is not confirmed whether what we have is an authentic audio. It's not confirmed. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that the Attorney General is very resolute, very firm, very healthy, undertaking his duties as an Attorney General. He's currently out of jurisdiction, and very soon he'll be back to continue his duties as an Attorney General of the Republic. Oh, we are in court, and cases of this nature are fought in court. We have closed our case in that matter. The first accused person has closed his case. The third accused person is in the witness stand and are going to cross-examination. So that's where our focus is.
The NDC wants him to resign or recuse himself. What do you say to that?
There is no basis, my brother.
But do you think the
audio
will affect
the audios have, if there are any, have nothing to do with what we are doing in court. And the judge yesterday made it known to all of us that what we are doing in court is different from what we are doing in the public space, that's political. Our focus is to do what we are supposed to do in court for it to get to the end of this matter.
You've indicated that you are yet to authenticate that audio recording, but really, did your boss ever have any conversation via telephone with the third accused?
It is not in doubt. We issued a statement within the week. You've heard our spokesperson, very true. Circumstances that led to that kind of conversation. And then we think nothing untoward was said, as I speak now. We should all stay committed to the cause of the Republic. We must make sure that we protect the public purse. It matters not who is involved. If there's anything untoward, we must make sure that we support the prosecutors to come to conclusion on matters before the court. Because we represent the Republic, we represent you. Over 34 million Ghanaians. It's not our own representation. So we only need your support and nothing else.
So that was the Deputy Attorney General, Alfred Tia Yeboah, there. Well, this is the top story brought to you by Telecel. Let's get into the matters and bring in Professor Kojoa Piaget Etia. He is Associate Professor for the School of Law, University of Ghana. Prof, I'm grateful to you for joining. Now, do these allegations of witness tampering by the Attorney General affect the substantive matter in any way?
Thank you for having me. Hello.
Hi, Prof. We can hear you.
Yes. Can you repeat the question, please?
So I'm trying to find out from you how these allegations of witness tampering by the Attorney General affect the substantive matter he was prosecuting, or he is prosecuting, in court.
Well, it depends on how the judge makes a ruling on that. I think you have already made the point that the judge was asked to take notice of the fact that there was an attempt by the Attorney General to influence the outcome of the case in a way that will make the prosecution's case look better against the first accused person. And so in such a case, what is clear is that with regard to the plea bargaining issue, I think we can say it's dead in the water, because it has been stamped with in one way or the other. With regard to the substantive case, the judge at this point cannot rely on information that is in the public domain. That is something that is considered as, if you like, hearsay evidence. But where she feels that the outcome of the case may be jeopardized or the justice will not be served if that particular issue involving the Attorney General is not gone into, then she would make that decision. So at this point, we don't know yet where his discretion is. But what is clear on the face of the law is that the proceeding is going to take place and proceed as if nothing has happened.
But how does that, or how will the AG put behind what is happening in the public space and genuinely prosecute this matter to get justice in court for the state and for parties involved?
Well, that is why we are making the point that the case has been compromised one way or the other, because the Attorney General, based on the evidence we have, based on the reports that was issued yesterday regarding the information that he may have communicated with Mr. Chakwa, the credibility of the Attorney General's office has been compromised. And therefore, the case he's prosecuting is also seems to have been tainted. So the normal thing is for him to resign so that some credibility will be brought to his office, and the issue surrounding the credibility of the particular kind of allegations being leveled against the first accused in particular will sort of help to clear some of the misconceptions and the image tarnishing that has been associated with the case, so that it can go smoothly, and when justice is delivered or judgment is delivered, everybody can say that justice has been served. But as it is now, the court of public opinion seems to say that the case has been tainted, and so when the judgment is given and it should go against the accused person, people are likely to say that justice has not been served. It is also in this context that the justice is trying to be sure that the case that is before her is what she is looking at, but she is not looking at anything else that is happening outside the courtroom. So she has made that clear, and that is how the judge should deal with the matter. So it depends on the outcome of the case and how the judge, in her discretion, will at the point determine if the information that has come to her from outside, and also what the third party in the case has indicated to the court, and which has been put on record, may be revisited, and for any further issues that the judge may decide to delve into, to be able to clear that kind of mess, if you like, and to make the justice be served at the end of the day.
Well, but tonight we're hearing from the Deputy Attorney General that there is no indication that the AG will resign. You and other people have called for the AG to resign or be sacked, but we are told that he won't.
Well, that is very unfortunate, but it's not unexpected. It is not unexpected, because this has happened over and over again. And the second option may also not be respected. So at the end of the day, what the Attorney General is doing and the Office of the Attorney General is doing is simply to make things look, it's as if we are not serious for our justice system, and we just want to do some legalese and say that this is how things should go. And so it is a very unfortunate development. What has happened so far, it seems to be clear that some witness tampering has taken place. Some attempts have been made to compromise the delivery of justice. Efforts have been made to gather information to nail somebody for a crime that maybe he may not have been committed, or even if he committed it at all, they don't have enough evidence to prosecute him. So the way that they are doing is as if they want to go on by all means to make sure that this person is found guilty. And therefore, it raises a question as to the motive for prosecuting the case in the first place. Under normal circumstances, the Attorney General should have resigned, and there are definitely people who are qualified enough. Even the Deputy Attorney General can take over, so that it will bring some credibility to the case the Attorney General is handling the case. But as it is now, even if the plea bargaining issue is off the table, the substantive issue and how it is proceeded in the normal way is also raising a number of questions, and that is our concern that justice is not being served in this way. The judge may try to do her best to ensure that things are streamlined, but in the mind of the people, something wrong has happened somewhere, and therefore justice may not be served at the end of the day.
When the company agreed to pay the money, and the AG decided that he won't accept that, did it do a disservice to the country by that decision?
That is one of the main purposes of plea bargaining, is to ensure that at the end of the day, you are able to cut down on the procedures that are involved in the normal prosecution of a case. And at the end of the day, you also want to ensure that in this time and age, when we're talking about criminal justice, one of the reasons or one of the objectives of criminal law is not necessarily to put the person behind bars. It is also to do restoration, to be able to look at the interests of the victim and see whether if the case involved some money stolen or any other way involving recovery of properties, if that is possible, that should be taken into account. So depending on how much the state is able to recoup from the case, that may also be a basis to engage in plea bargaining to reduce the sentence of the accused. And so in this situation, the amount that was put on the table was huge. It is about 90% of the cost that the state has incurred as a result of this ambulance saga. So for the attorney general not to have accepted it also raises a question as to the motive for why he wants to prosecute the case. And in some cases, we can even say that the attorney general could be tried or could be found that there's an opportunity for the case of causing financial loss to the state, because that is why we have the plea bargaining thing in place, that you're able to recover some money for the state. And if that is on the table and the attorney general refuses it for whatever reason, he is supposed to represent the state. He is the legal advisor for the state, legal advisor for the president, and he is supposed to have the law in his bosom to know the right thing to do. And so with all the surrounding circumstances, if this is an opportunity for him to make the plea bargaining process work and he decides to ignore it, overlook it, the question is, what is his motive? And if we should lose this amount of money, then he has caused financial loss to the state.
Oh, wow. So he too has caused financial loss to the state by this action?
I would say so. So long as it is proven that indeed there is a blue seal or whatever, that the name of the company said we want to pay this money, then and he refuses, then the question is, why did he introduce a plea bargaining thing at all? And does he also understand and applying the contemporary principles of criminal justice, whereby restoration is a means to deal with such situations, which links up with plea bargaining? He has not relied on that. He has not used that opportunity to save some money for the state.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, he's just going to court every day, wasting time and money, which could have been used to deal with other pressing cases.
All right.
And then you save the money for the state, and you cut down the process.
Prof, I'm grateful to you. Professor Kwajo Apiaje Tia is Associate Professor at the School of Law, University of Ghana. Let me bring in the National Organizer of the MPP. He's also a lawyer, Henry Nana Bwache. I'm grateful to you for joining. Now,
thank you.
Won't it help matters for the Attorney General to simply recuse himself and allow due process to take its course in this matter if he believes he's innocent of all of these allegations?
The Attorney General will not resign today. He will not resign tomorrow. He will not resign the day after. And I think you asked a wrong question and a wrong answer was given. Look, when Big C suggested by way of plea bargaining or plea negotiation to pay the money, first of all, Big C is not a party to the matter in court. In fact, that is what Attorney General never said. The state was not going to accept the 2 million offer. What Attorney General said was that The conditions are not acceptable. What are the conditions? Big C already, it's a company in Dubai. Already there are contentious matters as to whether the contract between the state and Big C sought parliamentary approval. Secondly, Big C is not a party to the matter before the law court. So when you ask a question like, did the Attorney General do us good by not accepting the money? I mean, okay, you have asked a wrong question.
Okay.
So the fact of the matter is that Attorney General responded because the lawyer for the third accused, Japa, brought this request by way of plea bargain. And Attorney General said that the conditions were not favorable because Big C, that company, is not a party to the suit. It's not a party to
Henry,
discussion.
Henry, you're prosecuting the parties in this case because of an amount that you say that the nation lost.
I was going to go there.
And now the company says, I want to pay.
Let me progress there. So what the Attorney General said was that, look, you are the parties involved. If you want to tell us that you are coming by way of plea bargain and you are going to mobilize these monies, fair enough. Because if Attorney General should accept such an offer from a party that is not, or an entity that is not a party to the suit, if at the end of the day we agree to let the whole discontinue the matter, where are you going to see the Big C? Because they are not a party to the suit. So Attorney General said that. Then you, the accused, you need to come properly. The Attorney General must identify you as the parties coming forward for the plea bargain. Attorney General wrote to Atufosin, and Atufosin said that he has no objection to the plea bargain. Then Attorney General wanted to seek clarification and asked whether you are by way associating yourself to this request by way of plea bargain. Atufosin said no, because you know why? Smartly, he thinks that when he accepts it, it is an admission of guilt. It's an admission of wrongdoing. So I think the good professor you just spoke to should probably get the documents and read. Because if he carries this same submission elsewhere, he will be polluting the minds of people.
But Henry, I mean...
Henry, the
party to this matter, I mean the third accused, who is Jackpa, is a rep of the company. So, yes, agreed that they are not a party to this matter in court. But a rep of that same company is on, and the company says, whilst you are prosecuting the man for this amount, we are willing to bring it to the state. We are willing to pay. And you say you don't want it.
No, you see, you don't. Jackpa, at the time the offered, he was not even an agent again. He was not. They had disengaged him. So if anybody writes a letter, when the person, how will you even authenticate that, yes, this is even coming from Big C? Because you know what? It was the lawyer for Japa who even brought this request by way of a plea bargain. So how can you even authenticate that it is really coming there? And how are we also able to assess that they have the capacity to pay 2 million euros? So it is not that simple. So please don't fall for this propaganda from the NDC. Look, and this ambulance that came, it was so rotten. Alexebifia wrote a letter saying that it was not fit for purpose. And these ambulances were there. In fact, NDC were in power 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017. They never accepted these ambulances. So how can you blame MPP government for that? Look, there are clear cases of financial loss which are to force him as answer. And this whole shenanigan, this whole trying to blow the thing into the public domain and then trying to turn the thing as if Attorney General has done something wrong, there is a clear case for Atufosin to answer. You were the deputy finance minister. You wrote some letters to Bank of Ghana authorizing them for payment contrary to the terms and conditions of the agreement.
These ambulances came. In fact, we're not even supposed to pay a penny. Okay. The ambulances were supposed to come in. We assess them. We do proper examination by National Ambulance Service, by Ministry of Health, before it come, before we effect payment.
Well, Harry,
you make payment, later on, do you know the interesting thing. You also 3 days, 4 days after, you write to Controller and Accountant General that they should also effect payment for the charges involved in the bank bank transactions regarding the establishment of the LCs.
Okay, but Henry, in the statement by the AG itself last week, paragraph 3, it says, it is rather the third accused who, by various letters dated 27th April 2023, 16th May 2023, 30th May 2023, and 12th June 2023, has proposed to the Republic through the Attorney General to engage in plea bargaining or plea negotiations. This plea bargaining proposal has to date not been accepted by the Attorney General. So it is Richard Jagpa who said, I am ready to accept and pay this money and so that we can deal with this matter.
It is not Richard Jagpa. I have the letters before me. I can furnish you with these letters.
But this is the Attorney General's statement, not Jagpa's statement.
But that statement does not fit. Richard Jagpa cannot, because yes, he through his lawyers, writing for Big C. So it is Richard Jagpa who probably engaged this Big C people. And then they said that they wanted to pay 2 million euros.
Exactly.
And then come and
so, Henry, the question is that if a party in this case has written to you that I want to pay, however means he wants to, why don't you accept the money for which you are prosecuting the people?
You still don't get it. How can anybody just by way of letter write to you and say that I'm going simple?
Doesn't the law allow it?
You know what? Discontinue.
Henry, doesn't the law allow that option?
You still don't get my point. AG never said that he was not going to entertain plea bargaining or plea negotiation. Never. AG is saying that the conditions are not favorable. I will not accept the conditions. What are the conditions? Why should Big C, entity that is not a party to the whole matter in court, propose to pay 2 million euros, discontinue, in fact, he said that 500,000, then later they'll pay 1.5 million, 500, you discontinue the matter, then we bring, after 6 months or so, then we pay 1.5 million. I have the letters, I can write to you. So the conditions were not favorable.
Okay, Henry, I get your point, but there are several calls for investigations. I mean, some propose a parliamentary probe. Some say the General Legal Counsel should go into it. And we are even hearing that there must be a public, you know, inquiry open to the general public. Do you support such calls? That this could probably help solve the issue.
I do not support such calls. Why should we be wasting our time on such concocted, manipulated, heavily cut and pieced together tape? Why? In fact, in their own press conference, even the screenshot of the WhatsApp messages they exhibited. I have the original one.
Okay.
The original one says that I am Richard Jagpa. I am the brother of Justice Yoni Kolende. Can I please have a private meeting with you? Then the AG responds, I will arrange through your brother, who is a respected, a revered Supreme Court judge. And then they had to cut off all those parts. And then create an impression as if it is Attorney General that is asking for the meeting. What kind of behavior is that?
All right, Harry.
And then they also, again, in the same WhatsApp message, they indicated that it was this WhatsApp, they spoke for 26 minutes.
Harry, I'm grateful.
So 26 minutes, and then they played a tape of 60 minutes.
Harry,
I'm grateful that you could join us.
You could join us to explain issues. Let me just wrap with Sami Jainfu, who is the NDC's National Communication Officer. Sami, so if you think that these allegations could help you make a case of witch hunting against Dr. Forson, why are you calling for him on him to resign?
I don't understand the question, but could you, first of all, you've kept me on the line for a lot of time, and so
apologies.
Clarify your question and give me time to.
So I'm asking that. I mean, you want the AG to resign for engaging Richard Jagpa, which is against the law, and I'm asking if this could help you make a case in court against him for witch hunting, which has been something that you've been standing on for quite some time.
There is nothing like making a case of witch hunting against a prosecutor.
Okay.
When the court reconvenes next week, Tuesday, you're going to hear counsel for Dr. Atufosin move an application under the inherent jurisdiction of the court for an order of inquiry by the court into that, into this matter. And we will wait to see how that plays out in court. But the Attorney General is a public officer who has sworn an oath to serve not only as an Attorney General but in Ministry of Justice, and to be fair to all manner of persons. Now, he is also a lawyer, and therefore he is governed by LI 2423, the rules of ethics that govern the legal profession. He has engaged in conduct unbecoming of a lawyer, conduct unbecoming of a prosecutor, and conduct that constitutes a crime. Specifically, I'm talking about the fabrication of evidence, which per section 213 and 214 of the Criminal and Other Offenses Act of Ghana constitutes a second degree felony, the offense of perjury. And so we are saying that without prejudice to the case of the state against Honorable Atoforsen, this dishonorable Attorney General must face the music of accountability. He must resign or be sacked immediately and go through disciplinary proceedings, okay, at the General Legal Counsel, like it is done to all lawyers who breach our rules of ethics. We are also saying that the state should prosecute him for engaging in crime, because you heard him on tape telling a witness to forge a medical excuse duty when he knew that the witness was healthy and fit, just to deceive a court. This is despicable, it is reprehensible, it is criminal, and we can't have such a criminal-minded person in being the leader of the Ghana Bar. It's a disgrace of monumental proportion. So we say that if the president doesn't sack him, parliament will censure him. If they don't prosecute him, the next NDC government will prosecute him. If the General Legal Counsel will not take judicial notice of this and institute disciplinary proceedings against him, we are ready to petition and trigger that process. And in court, Honorable Atoforsen has certain rights which he will be activating through his lawyers as the case moves along relative to this.
All right.
So the case of witch hunt doesn't come in at all.
Okay. Thank you. Sami Jenfi is the National Communications Officer of the NDC. This has been Top Story. Up next is Newsnight.